You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 11. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence, looking for you to help us to understand that which you meant us to understand, that we be the beneficiaries, that we would have the benefit, the blessing, and the wonderful purpose that you've done, what you've done for us, to be able to follow through, not only to experience, but to enjoy what it means to know you and to honor you. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of John, remember Lazarus had died, and Martha and Mary are concerned, etc. And in particular, chapter 11, if I may, in verse 24. Well, I'll read a little better context. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, remember now, she's thinking a Jewish understanding way. There's a future. Time isn't the element. It just is an awesome something in the future for the nation of Israel, like we looked at in Sunday school. Wonderful future for the nation. And all of that's wonderful. Jesus answers, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, having said that, why did he say that? What is the basis of those remarks? I am the resurrection and the life. I am. And you know, if you know me and honor me, you'll never die. You'll never die. We started it a week ago, prayer meeting. Let me just tie it together. Make it simple. We have resurrection, we have all. Let's just do it and lock it in. You remember what we did the other Wednesday in that. God, in his wonderful grace, God is a person. His Father, he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God in his triune nature, essence, being is God. And God is a glorious God. And what he does and how he does is for his glory, to manifest, to make known his awesome person. As we shared, like a painter, the painter filled with the pictures needs the brush and the canvas to express himself. God is going to express himself in a most wonderful way. God's going to glorify himself. Now, how's God going to glorify himself? In their wonderful plan, what are you going to do, God? I'm going to go, and the Lord, God the Son, going to die on Calvary's cross. The Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Before there is no angels, before anything, what is the plan? The centerpiece point. The centerpiece is the cross of Christ. God himself is going to do something wonderful. to display himself for all humanity, to know him, to know his awesome righteousness and his saving grace, so they can know. And God is invisible. God, you can't. There's no dimensions to God. There is nothing outside of God. Nothing outside. There's something outside of us, something outside of the stars, but there's nothing outside of God. Nothing. He's invisible. He's awesome. And besides that, he doesn't have time. We have time. We have past, present, and future. God doesn't have time. There is no time to God. Now, we can't understand that. There's just now, N-O-W. We can't understand that. It's called eternity, the now. How do we understand that? Well, we don't understand it. No, he's God. Now, God, how are you going to get yourself for us? You created us, angels, etc., to know you. So what are you going to do? God, in this plan, for all of everything, angels and humans, he's going to go and die on the cross, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. God knows angels are going to sin by Satan, Lucifer. God knows humans, Adam and Eve, are going to fall in sin. God knows that. It's all part of his thing. To what? Demonstrate his awesome person, character, conduct. Wow. And it centers in the cross. So all through Old Testament, secular and sacred history, here we come down the corridor of time to Calvary's cross, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He's going to die on that cross. That's the centerpiece. He's going to, hang on, and he's going to rise again and finish time. When he's finished with time, what's he going to do? Time is, remember, just this little bit, like this, little bit. Timelessness. There is no time. It isn't about time. It's about timelessness. It's about God. So God, what are you going to do? You're going to go and take time. And in time, you're going to demonstrate something for eternity. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to do it in and by and for yourself, to glorify yourself. So how are we going to see the invisible God? How are we going to come to grips? God is going to make himself known in a most remarkable, wonderful way. So in the new heavens and a new earth, what have we got? We have the Lamb of God, the little Lamb, Revelation 5, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do we got? The God, you're going to be the centerpiece. The resurrected Christ is what we're going to see. We're going to see hands, his side, as it were. That's what everyone's going to know. It's him. It's God. It isn't just anybody. It's the one that died on the cross. Christ sent his son. God in Christ died for us in a most wonderful way. And God's going to demonstrate that forever. No more sun, no more moon as we know it. All of it's wonderful, wonderful. And it's all centered in the cross of what God is doing. Do you understand that? It's nothing about anybody else. Nothing. It's all about what God's doing to show his wonderful person. And God created angels and us humans to enjoy forever his awesome person. Now, again, haven't got that. Second, what do we know about humans? Christ is going to grow and die on the cross and be slain, crucified. Now, why? Now, we know Genesis 3:15, at the very beginning, God, the seed of the woman, God is going to send his son to die on the Calvary's cross. That's what Adam and Eve knew at square one. God's wonderful lamb, God told them right off, you have a wonderful Savior. I'm going to go in due time, die on the cross for your sin. That's what I'm going to do. Now, having said that, And keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful purpose in outworking his wonderful will in doing that. So, now going down the corridor of time and the process, they're going to go and do what? To react. God told them. It's all about God. Your sin, you're dead in trespasses and sin, you need to be saved. God's Genesis 3:15, I'm the Savior, I'm going to go and provide for you a wonderful, wonderful salvation. Okay. Now, the reaction, the world, we did all this, Genesis 6 and all of that, Genesis flood, there's Noah and his family, and all the rest of them unsaved. They rebel, they reject God's save. He rejected, they're created in his image and likeness, and they have all the privileges, and they feel pretty good about themselves, and pretty pride, etc. Where somebody, well, they were. Lucifer, son of the morning, before he sinned, knew he was somebody. Wow. Now, so here's Adam and Eve, and here's us humans. And we can't do it all, we just did it. Go down the corridor of time. All humans, starting with Adam and Eve, Abel, Cain, Noah, all of them. Slide down the corridor. All us humans have an old nature. Our old nature is against God. When Adam and Eve sinned, we all caught the problem. We all have that old nature. We are against God. Hang on. I need to see that. Over to Romans. And in Romans, you know these things, but just put it together. Romans chapter 3, you will note, if I can, directly in the light of the context, verse 23, for all have sinned, not some, all have sinned, and what? Come short, they've missed the mark, the arrow didn't hit the target, they missed the mark, they came short of what? The glory of God. What is God doing? He's demonstrating his glorious person. Romans chapter 1 and all that, you can't do it now. God gave them. They rejected. God can't be, I just said it, there's no measurement, there's no time to God. God's awesome. Well, you can't be God. You can't be God. They rejected it. All have come short of the glory of God. Over to Romans in chapter 5. And you will note, chapter 5, verse 12, context again. Wherefore, by one man, that's Adam, when Adam sinned, we all followed suit. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. So when Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, everyone in Adam and Eve, she's the mother of all living, Genesis 3:20. She's the mother of all living. Oh, where do we come from? Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve are the example, and they show us. We're all born dead in sins. That's what we're born. We're born separated from God. Romans 5:12, Adam set us, that's the pace, and everyone in Adam dies. And you know, Psalm 103 in that. What do we know? God in his wonderful grace has created us in his image and likeness. And God is busy, our Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph. We're created in the image and likeness of God. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, so that here we are looking to God. And Psalm 103 and that, God creates all humans. Every human that has been born, that may, and all us living on earth, and everyone that is to be born to the end of the millennium, are in Adam. And we're all born dead in sins, except Christ, who is saved by born of the Virgin Mary. He's saved. He's the sinless Son of God. He is the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15. He's the last Adam. Not the second Adam. He's the last one. The last one. The first Adam gets us into trouble. The second Adam gets us out. And he dies on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he died for Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, you, me. He died for us. You understand that? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that he did. Over to see it again, chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of faith, of life. For, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, etc. The whole context, it's about what? God made possible a unique relationship that Adam got us into trouble. The last Adam, our Lord, gets us out of trouble. He's the Savior. That's what it is. Now, what do we know about him as a Savior? Go a bit further. Go a bit further. Wait a little more. Chapter 6. And again, picking it up, please. If I may. Verse 23. Light of the context. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, what? We just said it. Say it again. In Adam we all die. In Christ we all are made alive. God is the wonderful Savior to save us all. He died for the sin of Adam. He died for the sin of that. He died for you on the left side. He died for you on the right side. He died so that everyone in Adam, so we all qualify, we're there. The trouble is, we all qualify. Romans chapter 8. And our old nature is not happy. So chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to carnally, fleshly minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal fleshly mind is enmity, hostility, an enemy against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. No one. From Adam, Adam and Eve believed God and got saved. Abel got saved. Cain did not, etc. Us humans, what do? Us humans have built into us a rebellion and a rejection. And it's there all through the pages of the old history, secular and sacred, in the Old Testament. So we ride through all history. And as we look at us humans, no matter where you want to look, no matter how you cut the cookie, it comes out the same. Us humans are the same as we go down the corridor. So now, and we're what? We are against him. And we kill the prophets, and we stone the prophets, and we hate God's witness when he sends light into our darkness. We don't want it. We reject it. So when he's born in Bethlehem of Judea to fulfill his glorious plan to die on the cross, and Christ is born in Bethlehem of Judea, and what do? He has 3 1/3 years to bear witness to his awesome person. And he does. And what do you do? Here's the Jewish nation. What are they going to do, as we shared on Wednesday? Crucify him. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. His blood be upon us and our children. We don't want him. They crucified him. Us humans crucified him. That's what we did. Now, understand, to keep in mind, if you were living in the days way back in the Old Testament all the way through, what did we do? We had sacrifices, Leviticus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What did we do? We had sacrifices, among other things. The unsaved had sacrifices. They sacrificed children, humans. But that wasn't the point. They took it a step further. What did God have for Israel? They sacrificed an animal. The animal didn't do anything wrong. The animal didn't do it. He was just a nice goat, a nice sheep, a nice sheep. He didn't do anything wrong. He's innocent. And I'm going to put my hand on his head and kill him. Pointing to what? What I'm going to do to Christ. Kill him. That's what we're doing. And we had animals, and we did it. We're looking to God. We're going to go, and that's where we are. And our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, what did he do to get crucified? Nothing. He didn't do anything. We did. We did. The animal was innocent. Christ is innocent. Christ is the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. That's what he's doing. We took an animal and we killed him to represent Christ, what he's going to do. And who killed the animal? Who took the animal? We did. God sent his son into the world, and God is going to send him to die. But what are we going to do? We're going to go and look to God in a most wonderful way, and we're going to go, us humans, are going to crucify him. So when he's crucified, dear friends, what's going to happen? We, us humans, all of the Old Testament, all of the humans until the end of the millennium, all of us humans sent him to the cross. That's what we did. We sent him to the cross. We took him to the cross. Why did we take him to the cross? He's the innocent Lamb of God, to be our Savior. That's right. We took him there. God, it's your plan. It is. What are we supposed to be learning? Why are you going to the cross, Lord? Because we're sending you there. We're going to crucify you. Why are we going to crucify you? Because we're sinners and we need to be saved. That's why we're going to crucify you. And what are we going to find? God, the animal wasn't pointing to the guy that took the animal. The animal represented in place of the sinner. God, what are you doing? You're the Lamb of God in place of me, in place of you. He went and took us there. What are we supposed to wake up to? Clear, wonderful, super. What? That Christ died on the cross, and I took him there. I sent him there. He's there, and I'm there. That's why he's on that cross. He went and took me. He was trying to help me understand the only way I could be saved is by believing on who he is. And Christ died on the cross for me. I need to understand that. It's an awesome thing. I sent him there. I took him there. I crucified him. I did it. What did you do, God? You did a wonderful thing. You saved me in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, I'll go over with me so you see it a little bit, just in case. 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 5, and just lock it in again, afresh in your mind, in the light of the context, verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, on behalf of us, who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why. He took my place. I sent him. I didn't understand it. I just rebelled against it. Our old nature does. It always does. Christ, that's why we had to die. 1 Peter in chapter 2. Do it again so it's easy to see. First Peter, chapter 2 and verse 24 directly. I'll read verse 23, a little background. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So God, what are we doing? Christ is there on my behalf, like the animal, the slaughtered animal. I took the animal. I sent the animal. That's what they did. I'm sending them in my place. But I don't understand that. No, I don't understand it yet. Till he dies. And then, if I keep my rebellion, I draw back. I'm still negative. But what are you saying to Martha? And Martha, I am the resurrection and life. Do you believe? Do you believe that I give you everlasting life and that you'll never die? Do you believe that? Look at them. Say, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to the cross and die. You're going to send me there to that cross to die. I am wonderfully identified with what he's doing. I don't know it. I didn't understand it. But I sent him there. I clapped and took him there. I didn't realize it's for me he died. He took my place. Yeah. That's why. Well, the wages of sin is death. I came short of the glory of God. The flesh cannot please God. God, I need help. Oh. God, that's why he died. He died to what? Save me. He died to forgive me. He died to pardon my earthly lot and my heavenly expectation. He died for me. He died. He took my place. That's what he did. Now, I got that part? A little bit. His awesome death. His awesome, awesome death in an awesome, awesome way. So God, now, he's bearing my sin in his own body, paying the penalty in a most wonderful way. And therefore, I need to understand he's my wonderful, wonderful substitute. I just need to understand it. I hate to think about Christ. I don't mind church and even read your Bible, but don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't believe. Just read it. Go right past it. You'll never die. Turn that page. Okay. Now, so God, here we are, looking to you in a most awesome, awesome way. So, Now, in the light of that, since we all have died, and you died on the cross, and when you were crucified in those last hour, 3 hours, 12 noon to 3 o'clock, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Christ, for 3 hours, in his perfect humanity, bore your sin and mine. The penalty of sin is death, and he bore my sin and your sin and the sin of the world. And in those 3 hours, he was separated from God in some awesome way, which we couldn't ever understand. In his perfect humanity, he became the Savior, became the substitute. He took my place and took your place on Calvary's cross. So what? That's what he did in a most wonderful, wonderful way. God did that. Over to Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, keeping in mind our Lord's commitment, it isn't something second, there's no second thought here. There's no thinking about what to do. It was set before any angels, humans were created. The Lamb of God is going to die. Set. So, that's no new plan. It isn't like the encyclopedia that has to get marked up. It isn't like that. Nope, nope, nope. Chapter 16, verse 21 again. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. I told him. He tells us the whole thing. It's going to be. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be risen. So it is no new thing. God, and what are you going to say? We read it in Matthew. Come see the place where he laid. That's the whole point. He told you he was going to rise again. So why are you looking for it? He already told you that. Well, therefore, come see the place where he laid. And over, if I can, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost. God, here's Peter on the day of Pentecost, helping the Jews and everybody understand. And therefore, may I start, if I can, in verse 21. Chapter 2, Acts, verse 21. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man appointed, approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God before the foundation of the world, that's the plan. That's the plan. It's not a new thing. It's the whole purpose. So it's no surprise to anybody. Therefore, verse 23 again, him being delivered by the determined counsel of God and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands and have crucified and slain him. Aha! But God, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, why? Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Death cannot hold life. You understand? Easier. Darkness cannot hold light. The minute I put light on, all the darkness vanishes. God finished. It is finished, he said. And God paid the price, and the relationship between the perfect humanity of Christ and his deity entered into a oneness again. And the light got rid of all the darkness. and the death could not stand in the place of life. If he's life, there can be no death. It's impossible. When you receive him as your Savior, that's why you have eternal life. Because he is life. Hang on. Now, keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, God raised him from the dead in a most wonderful way and forgave our sins in his wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can now put that together so you see it on the other side of the coin. You got to have both sides. If he has to die, he has to die. And he has to die, he has to live. He has to live. He tells you that. He has to live. So, if I find myself in his death, and he took me there, now, and I'm there, Christ died and took my place. He's my Savior. He died for me. What am I supposed to do? Believe. Believe that he is your, he took your sin in his own body on the tree. Believe. That's what I want you to do. Well, now, having said that and keeping that in mind if I can, over again to John. John chapter 3. And what are we going to know? In John chapter 3, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing in saving us. Now remember what we're looking at. We have, well, if we're looking, we have an empty cross. There's no one hanging on the cross. You could make something there and do that, but it ain't going to work. You got an empty cross, a dead Savior risen, and an empty tomb. An empty cross, an empty tomb. Now that's what we're faced with, us humans on earth. An empty cross and an empty tomb. The one man, the one person who can put together an awesome, to give you light and life into the future. No one else can do it. No one. I never can do it. Metaphysics and all that, all this stuff. You can't do it. There's no way to do it. No. He did it. He alone did it. He's glorious. He did it for his glory and honor. Now, so therefore in John chapter 3, when he died on the cross and took our sin, forgiven. Verse 18, he that believeth, I read verse 16, because you know it, watch it. What are you doing? If I understand, that's why he died. He isn't just somebody came along and died and offered me a gift. That's people. I believe the resurrection, he died, whatever that means, and he rose again, whatever that means, and he showed he loved us. Now, how is that going to save me? How is that going to help me understand personally? Why he's my very personal pronoun, my personal Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. You're my sheep. How can you do my? I have to understand. Therefore, verse 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's right. I see myself on the cross, sliding down. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned or judged already. Why are they judged already? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He needs to believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what he needs to do. God, remember, I'm not holding your sins. You're going to, Rome, you're here. You hear, do it. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, picking up, please. Verse 24. 8:24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. Not for. What for? If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It isn't about your sins. Why? Christ, I sent him to the cross for my sins. That's why I crucified him, as it were. That's why he's there. To be the sinless Son of God, to bear my sin in his own body in the tree. That's why it's there. So God, it isn't about my sins. No, because you took them. What is it about? Believing that you did it. That you really did it. Where were they? Well, they were, here's my sins. And God took them. He took my sins and saved me. That's what he did. Wow. Now, so therefore, if you don't believe, you'll die in your sins. You don't die because of your sins. You die in your sins. Different. Christ forgave you, pardoned you, took you to the cross, all humanity, before the foundation of the world. And all you got to do is believe. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, picking up, please, verse 8. Well, I got to do better. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. What's the Spirit of God going to do? It's going to help us understand what? Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove, convict, convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And in particular, verse 9, of sin, because they were a bad boy at age 10. No, because they believe not on me. That's why you're lost. You don't believe. Why have I got to believe? Because they took you to the cross. If I see it, if I understand it, that's when I want to get it. Because how am I going to enjoy fully? I am the resurrection and the life. Are you going to believe? You'll never die. You have eternal life. Really? That's what you have. I don't feel it. I don't need to feel it. It just is. Now, sliding along, if I can, in the light of that, over I can to Romans. Romans in chapter 6, watch it. And put it together. This isn't some, people use this as some deep, deep truth. It is a deep truth. It's an awesome truth. But it isn't meant to be. I've been a believer 35 years and I'm learning. See? And eventually when you hit 40 years, you'll understand. No, sir. You better understand at square one. That doesn't happen. But that's what you're doing. You went to the first grade you don't go from the first grade to the 12th grade. You go to the first grade to what? To progress to the second grade. Ultimately to get to the 12th grade. But boy, that's where you're headed. That's where you're headed. God saves us in a most wonderful way. And we're to begin the wonderful experience of understanding. That's why we're doing exercise to think about the cross, his resurrection. What on earth does that mean to anybody? Resurrection of what? Resurrection of who? For what? How does it affect me? I'm going to go to work tomorrow. See, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know you not as So many of us as we're baptized, placed into, immersed into, identified into Jesus Christ, and we're baptized, identified into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection. God, you did something wonderful. You went and took us to the cross. And we sent you there, and we recognize we're there. Now, God, we got you to the cross. God sent you there, and we put you there on the cross. And you died for me, so you took care of my sin, and you took care of all my problems in that sense. You pardoned me and saved me in a wonderful way. And I'm to believe that you did that. You're the Savior. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I believe it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can, over to Colossians. In Colossians, picking up if I may, and if I can, God tells, remember all the epistles, the first Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, are to bring to us a four window picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who died on the cross. The epistles, Acts, Romans, and all the way, what are they for? They're to help us to believe, to understand what he did on Calvary's cross. He died to save us. He did it in a most wonderful way. And that's what we've been looking at. That's what it's all about. It isn't about the unsaved. You don't read that. Colossians isn't about the unsaved. It's about believers exercising a unique relationship. Therefore, this relationship is a mystery. And no one ever heard that God would go think of what we did in Sunday school a little bit on resurrection. God, what are you going to do? You're going to go and show your wonderful grace to the world, an empty cross, an empty tomb, but not an empty heart. And we're going to receive you as our Savior. We believe that you took it. I understand, God, why you died. I understand. I receive you as my Savior. I do. Now I'm a witness. A witness of what? God, save me. And as that I enjoy and exercise that understanding, I benefit. So here we are, God. It's a mystery. No one ever believed God. We don't mind being like Moses, part of Israel, but it could never be possible that we could be part of you, God, in the person of God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not possible. Ah, but it is. That's what he's demonstrating. Wow. Now, therefore, verse 27, chapter 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hang on. You got that part? Okay. Over again, chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him. Remember what you just did in Romans chapter 6. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead on the cross in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together. How so? With him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's what God did, to make you have a unique oneness in a unique oneness in a unique way. Sliding over to chapter 3, verse 1. If you then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Why? 4, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Now, God, what are you going to do? God, I took you to the cross, God, and you took my sin. And I'm done with it. I'm done. Thank you. Thank you for taking my sin and forgiving and pardoning me. Now what? Now God said, now that's part one, as it were, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And what am I going to do? I have to die to save you. And I have to live to give you life. I have to, you understand? You took me to the cross, said our Lord. I took you to the cross, and you bore my death. You have risen again, because death cannot hold you. You have risen again to take me to God and to bring God to me. I didn't do it, God. When I understood that I'm on the cross, it is imperative that I must be buried and rise again. And you rise again by the power of God. I didn't do it, God. I did nothing. All I did was find myself on the cross. And when I found myself on the cross and I believed, I found you, because you took me to God, Lord, and God is brought to me. I'm able to have a unique, wonderful relationship to God. Verse 3, chapter 3. 4, you are dead with Christ. You're dead, and your life is here with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You have to understand, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, do you believe that? If you do, if you understand, you'll never die. God, you gave us eternal life. And when we received you as our Savior, I received life. Who can take that? I didn't get it. I didn't make it. I didn't make myself have physical life, but I'm going to lose it because of sin. I didn't make myself have eternal life, but I'm going to have it because of your righteousness. I'm going to have it because of your righteousness. Thank you. Resurrection. Resurrection. Very personal. Not just a holy day, not just an Easter egg day. No, it's personal. That's what happened. I could have quit. Our Father and God, thank you. Thank you, thank you for the little bit as we try to understand. Thank you so much. God, we owe you. You told us to believe in thine heart that you raised from the dead and that we would enjoy being saved. God, we understand our death. Thank you. But God, for our life, the life we now live, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, God. To be able, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the wonderful life that I have is yours, God. Thank you. Thank you very, 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 very much. So deal with us. It's just us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, may their heart be convicted and convinced, not because of anything or anyone, but simply because you are who you are, you say what you say, you mean what you say, and God, thank you for being and doing so. In Christ's name, amen.